Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Rosh Hashanah, daf Lamed Aleph. We're on Lamed, and we are right at the point where we're prepared to turn the page from Amud Aleph to Amud Beis. We're right in the bottom of Lamed Amud Aleph. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned with Nishma Chlos Lubin Zaltzman. More takanas made by Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai. So we talked, the Mishnah introduced us to two more takanas that were made. One was regarding Lulav, and the other one was regarding Yom HaNeith. So Lulav, the Gemara didn't discuss, just quickly to review, the mitzvah of Lulav min HaTorah is to take it one day outside of the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah to take it 7 days. So again, we pointed it yesterday, Machlokas Rashi and the Rambam, exactly what Mikdash means in this context, and also the previous context as well, in the Rosh Hashanah, blowing shofar in Rosh Hashanah Shal Shabbos. But according to Rashi, Mikdash actually means the Beis HaMikdash proper, and according to the Rambam, Mikdash in this context means all of Yerushalayim. Either way, the Mishnah says that after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai made a takana that we're going to take the lulav even outside the Beis HaMikdash for all 7 days. The Gemara quoted a pasuk yesterday from Yirmiyahu that we have to long and we have to yearn for Yerushalayim. And so one of the ways that we do so is that we remind ourselves that once upon a time we had a Beis HaMikdash, and once upon a time we took the lulav all 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. The next thing that was mentioned in the Mishnah is Yom HaNeith. Okay, so what exactly is Yom HaNeith? So it's the day after the first day of Pesach, first day of Chol HaMoed, Pesach in Eretz Yisrael. For us it would be the second day of Yontov, but for us it wouldn't be anything because that would mean that we would have a Beis HaMikdash. And okay, anyway, either way. But the 16th day of Nisan, let's just call it that and let's make it simple. 16th day of Nisan, so the Karban Omer was brought. The Karban Omer was brought. Why? Because it's a mitzvah to bring the Karban Omer on the 16th day of Pesach. But what it accomplishes is that it permits all the grains to be eaten. All the grains that grew or even just took root over the course of the previous year are forbidden. That prohibition is called Chadash. And Chadash Aser Min HaTorah, it's biblically prohibited to eat Chadash. And once you bring the Karban Omer, the Omer Zamatir, it permits all the grains to be eaten so that all the grains that are brought in and stored over the course of the year can be eaten after the Karban Omer is brought. When was the Karban Omer brought? So as we learned in yesterday's daf, the Kohanim would not delay. There's reason. They were in the Gemara's language yesterday is Einam Mitzatzlin. They're not lazy. And we can assume that by midday already they're going to bring the Karban Omer. So even if you don't live within Yerushalayim, within the proximity of Yerushalayim, but as long as it's the midday of the 16th day of Nisan, so rest assured that the Kohanim did exactly what they did. When there's no Beis HaMikdash, so at what point exactly is he permitted to eat Chadash? So according to the position that we saw yesterday in the Gemara, which perhaps we're going to argue in just a moment, Heyer HaMizrach, the day, the opening of the day, the light of the day. So without a Beis HaMikdash, so Chadash would become permitted already just the moment that the day begins on the 16th day of Nisan. Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai made a takana, said the Mishnah, where the entire 16th day would be prohibited and you cannot eat your Chadash until the 16th day is over, the eve of the 17th day. So why do you make such a takana? So that was the Gemara's question yesterday and the Gemara attempted to explain. The Gemara says, well, if the Beis HaMikdash, Meher Yibana Beis HaMikdash, meaning, remember, we are all creatures of habit. That's a rule of life, and the Gemara takes it into consideration all the time. And what happens is, year by year, year after year, if we are in the habit of eating Chadash by midday of the 16th of Nisan, or again, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, already by the morning of the 16th day of Nisan, so what's going to happen is that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built, all of a sudden, and now we're going to have to wait until the Karban Omer, and people don't realize that we're going to be eating Chadash when it is not yet permitted. The Gemara wanted to try to pinpoint with more accuracy when exactly is the Beis HaMikdash going to be built, that this is a concern, that this will be consideration. So if it's built on the actual 16th day itself, so that's fine. I mean, that shouldn't pose a problem, because that means that in the morning of the 16th, there was no Beis HaMikdash, and now the Beis HaMikdash is built after that point in time, but all the grains have become permitted, because we had a morning of the 16th without a Beis HaMikdash. So maybe it was built on the 15th, the Gemara says, well, if it's built on the 15th, also not a problem, because we would have plenty of time to prepare. Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai shouldn't have prohibited the Chadash no later than Chatzos, and then midday into the day. So the Gemara says, very simply, but the Gemara says, it must have been built sometime in the night between the 15th and 16th. If that's so, sorry. Yeah. Sometime in the night between the 15th and 16th, if that's so, there simply will be not enough time for the Kohanim to reap, to harvest, to bring the Karban Omer, and then there's a chance that they're not going to bring the Omer until late in the day, and that's why Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai prohibited Chadash all the day of the 16th for concern of this very, not remote scenario, but this very limited scenario where the Beis HaMikdash was built between the 15th and the 16th. Okay?
When on the 16th in the afternoon?
Whenever they get the first chance.
No, I'm saying, maybe, you know, it could be built in the afternoon, so then you'll have to wait.
Correct, later. Sometime later in the afternoon.
Later than the night.
Okay.
Why was Kodesh forbidden?
Why is it forbidden? Because the Torah says so. Torah says, "Ad v'yachem," until you bring the omer, so you can't eat the new grains. Let me sharpen your question just a little bit. Why don't we know about chadash? Meaning, I'm like speaking like in a foreign language when I say chadash and yashan. Why don't we know about it? Because typically, I mean, it shouldn't be the case, but we are. But it's not a really modern phenomena. It's a relatively modern phenomena that we are lax, that we are lenient when it comes to the prohibition of chadash. We don't ignore it, but we justify. Got to be careful about the words I use over here. We justify why it's not a concern. Already, this goes back hundreds of years. The time of the Ramah, the Bach, already for the last five, a little bit less, let's say 400 years, we have been lax in our adherence to the prohibition of Chadash. That's more can be said about a lot more can be said about this, but okay, that's I guess that. If that helps you at all. In the meantime, however, there's one Rashi I want to go over right now, and it's an interesting Rashi, and it makes for a lot of discussion. You take a look at Rashi on the bottom. Rashi over here, I mentioned this yesterday. This is a question I left off with yesterday, and let's go over it right now. The Gemara entertained the possibility that one of the days that the Beis HaMikdash could be built would be the 15th day of Nisan. And then the Gemara also entertained the possibility that the Beis HaMikdash could be built in the night between the 15th and the 16th day of Nisan, and then we're not just simply not going to have enough time to prepare the Karban Omer in the morning of the 16th. Fine, that's what the Gemara said. Rashi's bothered by a really simple question. You want to see the Rashi inside? Rashi, at the very bottom, Rashi in Lamed Amud Aleph, the Im Tomar, it's the last two lines. How could it be that the Gemara here, without flinching, entertains the possibility that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built either on the 15th day of Nisan or on the night between the 15th and the 16th? The Gemara, Rashi says, we have a Beferish Gemara in Shavuos, Ein Binyan Beis HaMikdash Lo B'Yamtiv Lo B'Layla. We don't build the Beis HaMikdash neither on Yamtiv nor on the night. So how can our Gemara entertain this possibility when the Gemara in Shavuos says there is no way we're building on these times? Rashi writes, "Hani mili binyan bide adam." Correct. There are times when there's a limitation of building the Beis HaMikdash, and that's bide adam. That's when we're building the Beis HaMikdash. However, binyan ha'asid lavo bide shamayim hu. But the third Beis HaMikdash, Bimher B'Yameinu, is going to be built not by us, but it's going to be built by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi, so says Rashi. So, obviously makes for an interesting discussion, where Rashi says very clearly that the third Beis HaMikdash is not in our hands, but rather it's up to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And once you know that, then you can also respond to another question, which is, how in the world are we getting the Beis HaMikdash up in a course of a night, in the course of a day? We're talking about an edifice, the building. So the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is building it, and that's how the Gemara over here can entertain the discussion. Okay, good. Who argues with Rashi? So as I mentioned at the end of yesterday's daf, but quickly to reiterate, the Rambam. The Rambam argues with Rashi, seemingly, presumably. Take a look at the Rambam, Hilchos Malachim, Perek Yud Aleph, the 11th Perek of Hilchos Malachim. So the Rambam says, who's going to be building the Beis HaMikdash? Mashiach. Mashiach is going to come, and one of the Mashiach is going to do a lot of things. There are a lot of things to do on the checklist of Mashiach. One of the things he's going to do is he's going to build the Beis HaMikdash. So it's just a simple reading of the Rambam. The clear reading of the Rambam is that it's not coming down from Shemayim, but the Mashiach himself is going to be the responsible for its building. Okay, that's your two basic positions in terms of who is going to be responsible for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Back to the Gemara. Okay, last line, last words of the daf. On Lamed Amud Aleph, at the very bottom, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar. Okay, right. Amar Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak. Okay, either way, however it's read. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai Bishitas Rav Yehuda Amart. A whole new approach, meaning not the eventuality that the Beis Hamikdash is going to be built on the night of, the day before, nothing like that. But rather, Rav Yochanan Zakkai is actually holding like Rav Yehuda. The Amar, and what is Rav Yehuda's position? Now mind you, Rav Yehuda comes much after Rav Yochanan Zakkai. The Gemara is going to make that point in just a moment. But in other words, Rav Yehuda is within the Shita of Rav Yochanan Zakkai. The Amar, the Torah in describing Parshas Nemor, the Torah in describing when you can not eat Chadash, the Torah says you can't eat the new grains until the essence of that day. And Rav Yehuda is of the opinion ad v'ad bechlal, that when the Torah says up to, it means up to and including. So up to the 16th and including the 16th. So that's the position of Rav Yehuda. Now obviously that means when there is no Beis HaMikdash, meaning when there's a Beis HaMikdash, the Karban Omer is going to be matir. But when there is no Beis HaMikdash, so then it's the end of the 16th. So it's a drasha. The Gemara says, so the Gemara says, wait 1 second, we have a Mishnah on Sukkah. It reads, so when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Rav Yochanan Zakkai instituted that the entire day be prohibited. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, now here Rashi says that some people have the Girsa Amar Lo Rav Yehuda, but Rashi says it cannot be. Rav Yehuda was a much later Tana. So when it says Amar, it's Amar Rav Yehuda, meaning to those who subscribe to Rav Yochanan Zakkai. But this was not a direct conversation between the two. They did not historically overlap. Amar Rav Yehuda, v'alo min haTorah hu asur, d'chsiv ad etzem hayom hazeh. What are you talking about? Min haTorah is prohibited because ad etzem hayom hazeh. In this exchange between Rav Yochanan Zakkai and Rav Yehuda, it's clear Rav Yochanan Zakkai is not subscribing to Rav Yehuda. How can the Gemara suggest that he does? So the Gemara says, "Hasam Rav Yehuda hu dekatay." So the Gemara says, "No, Rav Yehuda was the one who made a mistake. Rav Yochanan Zakkai midrabban and kamar. He thought just based on the language of Rav Yochanan Zakkai that it was a rabbinic institution that you can't eat chadash the entire day, the entire 16th day of Nisan. Velohi, but that's not correct. Midaraisa kamar. He meant from a Torah standpoint." The Gemara says, Vaha hitkin kitani, yeah, but he says hitkin. Hitkin usually means takana, usually means that it's a rabbinic institution. My hitkin, darash vihitkin. Hitkin means he darshened and he instituted. Institution over here is more like he broadcast the information. He let people know that after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, min haTorah, we cannot eat the grains until the end of the 16th day. It is not a rabbinic concern, but rather it's a din d'oraisa. Okay, I checked up the Rambam again yesterday, and the Rambam concludes like this understanding of Rav Yochanan Zakkai, that without a Beis HaMikdash, it is prohibited to eat chadash the entire 16th day of Nisan, and that's min haTorah, that's not midrabbanan. That's the Rambam's conclusion. Okay, Mishnah. This Mishnah should sound familiar. We did this Mishnah not that long ago in the beginning of Masechta Beitza. We are now describing Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is twofold. It's Rosh Chodesh and it's a Yantav. So it's a little bit tricky. We made this point before, but let's make this point again. It's a little bit tricky, Rosh Hashanah, because on a regular Rosh Chodesh, what we're doing is basically waiting for Edom to come. Again, we are going back in time to where Beis Din was the one who determined when Rosh Chodesh was. Nowadays, no determination is needed. We have a fixed calendar. But going back to when Beis Din was the ones who were Mekadesh HaChodesh, and Rosh Chodesh was a moving target, Rosh Chodesh could have either been day 30 or 31st of the month. So now we're waiting for the Edom to come. Edom are going to stand in front of Beis Din, testify that they saw the new moon, at which point Beis Din will be Mekadesh HaChodesh. Okay, that's how it went. And on a normal Rosh Chodesh, good. Meaning, great, whenever they come, they come. Yes, there's a carbon to bring, and we would like to bring the carbon Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. So obviously, the earlier they come, the better. But what's really at stake, the only thing at stake, although it's not unimportant, is a carbon for Rosh Chodesh, the Musafim of Rosh Chodesh. But now you get to Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, so now it's both Rosh Chodesh and it's a Yantif as well. So now we're waiting for Edom to come. So Edom are going to establish it to be Rosh Chodesh. Once they have established it to be Rosh Chodesh, that means de facto this day is Yantif. So first and foremost, before I even go through the Mishnah, so what do we do? Meaning, as a Jewish people, practicing and living by the Torah, so what do we do when we go into a day that may or may not be Yantif? Right, the 30th day of Elul. It may be Yantif, it may not be Yantif. It depends on whether the Edom come or they don't come. So what do we do? So Rashi tells us, Rashi right here on the Mishnah, I'm just saying it by way of introduction. So what we would do is we would go into the 30th day of Tishrei, 30th day of Elul, is that we would basically treat it like Rosh Hashanah. It may be and it may not be. I know you're going to ask me about Kiddush, and it's a fair question. I don't know. Right? Are we going to make Kiddush that night on a day that may or may not be Rosh Hashanah? I don't know. It's a reasonable question. I don't know what the answer would be. But going to the macro level, and what they would do in the Beis Hamikdash is that they would wait. They would wake up in the morning. They would offer the Tamishol Shachris, which is fine, meaning we would have done that anyway. And then we would wait for the Edom. If the Edom would come, so and they said, we saw the new moon, so good. So now we would declare today to be Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, which means that today is Rosh Hashanah. We would bring all the Musafim for Rosh Chodesh, for Rosh Hashanah. And then on top of that, we would finish the day off as Rosh Hashanah. Okay, that's what we would do in general. The Mishnah over here describes now a scenario that took place. Berishona, now originally, we would accept those Edom the entire day, meaning the 30th day of Elul. And if they would come at any point in the day, so Beis Din would convene, they would stand in front of Beis Din. Okay, I don't know how long the process took in total, an hour, let's say. And Beis Din would come out and say, okay, good. Edom were good. Check. Today's the first day of Tishrei. Good. And we would allow that to occur at any point during the day. Pam achas, at one time, nishtau Edom ilavo, the Edom delayed in coming. They didn't come on the 30th day of Tishrei, on 30th day of Elul, until late in the afternoon. After the Tamid Shobain Harbayim. Vinis kalkulu ha-levim bishir. And here's the problem. The problem is that when the Kohanim offer the Tamishol Ben Arbayim, the Edom haven't yet arrived. So where the assumption now is, look, it's the afternoon. We're in the middle of the afternoon. The Edom haven't arrived yet. You know what today is? It must be the 30th day of Elul. And tomorrow will be Rosh Hashanah. So they offer the Tamishol Ben Arbayim, which they would have done anyway, even if it was Rosh Hashanah. And then, moreover, because today's not Rosh Hashanah, at least they assumed it wasn't, so they sang the Shir. With every carbon, with the Tamishol Shach and the Tamishol Ben Arbayim, they sang Shir. What Shir did they sing? You already know the answer to that question, right? We insert the Shir Shal Yom at the end of davening. So, but they sang Shir, and because they thought it wasn't Rosh Hashanah, they sang the weekday Shir. And the language of the Mishnah is Niskalkalu Halavim B'Shir. Right? They butchered it. They ruined it. They sang the wrong Shir because they assumed it was a weekday. Now, no fault goes to them. Right, they understood. The witnesses weren't there, so they assumed that today was going to be just a regular weekday. It was just simply going to be the 30th day of Elul. And now when the Edom come afterwards, and they sang the wrong song, and it's Mu'uva Shalo Yecholitkon, they couldn't do anything about it. So, okay, so they said, okay, you know what? Enactment. So now, from this point going forward, we're only going to accept the witnesses up until the point of Mincha. After Mincha is over, we're no longer accepting witnesses for today. And if witnesses come after Mincha, we say to them, look, stick around. Tomorrow we're going to need you, but not today, right? Now, how would we practice? So the Mishnah says, well, that's easy. We'll practice that the 30th day of Elul will be Rosh Hashanah. In practice. Meaning, we'll treat the day with Kedusha. And Rashi explains, we have to. We don't have a choice in the matter. I mean, we do, but we have to. Because, think about it. If witnesses come after Mincha, and we tell the witnesses, hey, do me a favor. We're just not accepting you today. Come back tomorrow. And then basically we tell the Jewish people, okay, everybody, class dismissed. Not today. No Rosh Hashanah today. So then next year what's going to happen is that we, the Jewish people, are going to look at each other on the eve of the 30th day of Elul and say, look, you remember last year? Right? We thought it was going to be Rosh Hashanah. It didn't turn out to be Rosh Hashanah. How about this? How about let's wait and see? So we don't want people to do that. So therefore what we do is going into every 30th day of Elul, we behave the practices that we treat the day like Rosh Hashanah. If the witnesses decide to come after Mincha, so then the next day is going to be the quote-unquote the real Rosh Hashanah, but both days are practiced as Rosh Hashanah. That is all up until the point of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, Hekir Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shehu Mekab Ma'aseh Chodesh Kol Hayom. And after the destruction of the Bayis Sheni, where now there's no longer this carbon consideration, unfortunately, there's no longer carbon consideration. So now, we'll be able to accept the witnesses the entire day of the 30th day of Elul, because there's no longer concern or consideration that we're going to sing the wrong song during the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im. A couple of basic points that we're going to go over, and then we'll go and continue in the Gemara. Point number one. They're so worried about the Shir Shel Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im. What about the Tamei Shel Shachris? Meaning, what song would they sing then? So Rashi addresses this, and Rashi says, the weekday song. Witnesses would not come, typically, until after the Tamei Shel Shachris. So, on the morning of the 30th day of Elul, even though most probably today is going to be Rosh Hashanah, and most probably witnesses are going to come, but still, on the morning, we're going to sing the regular Shir Shel Yom. So that's number one. That's why the only concern is the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im and not the Shir Shel Tamei Shel Shachris. And let's now deal with another very basic issue. And that is the following. The tragedy, and I don't want to overstate it, I don't want to understate it, but niskalkalu, that's the language of the Mishnah. The tragedy in this in the witnesses coming after the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im is that they sang the wrong song. The Levim sang the wrong song. Thinking it was a weekday, they sang the weekday song, when meanwhile it was Rosh Hashanah, and they should have sung the Shir Shel Rosh Hashanah. And later on in the Gemara, we're going to identify which parakim is the Shir Shel Yom and the Shir Shel Rosh Hashanah. We'll actually assign a parak so that we know a little bit better. But Tosfos over here is bothered by a really simple question. The Shir, that's your big issue? Meaning, what about the Karban Musaf? We know that after you bring the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im, that's it. The door is closed in the Beis HaMikdash. No more Karbanos abroad. With only one exception, which we spent a lot of time talking about, and that's a Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach is brought after the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im, but that's it. The rest of the Karbanos that are brought in the Beis HaMikdash, both obligatory and voluntary, Chova and Nedava, are brought between the Tamei Shel Shachar and the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im. Tamei Shel Shachar and Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im basically serve as the bookends every day of all the karbanos that are brought in the Beis HaMikdash. And so, if the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im was offered, and the witnesses come afterwards, and a declaration of Rosh Hashanah is for today, so the Shir is your biggest concern, what about the karbanos of Rosh Hashanah? That's Tosfos' question. See the lengthy Tosfos over here? He's bothered by that question. Basically, in a very short nutshell, Tosfos says, they brought the karbanos even after the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im. Generally, you're not allowed to do that. In this case, you are. See Tosfos. I'm oversimplifying. See Tosfos for an explanation of why that is. Tosfos has to be right. Meaning, understand, there is an answer to the question. There has to be. Because if the only thing the Mishnah is pointing to is the Shir, it means then that the carbon was not an issue, and all Tosfos is explaining is, why is it not an issue? And see Tosfos for an explanation of why they did bring the carbon after the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im. Okay? Ma kilkulu alevim b'shir. The Gemara now has a very specific question, and that is the following. There was a moment in time during the Beis HaMikdash where witnesses came late after the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im, and we sang the wrong song. Or I misspoke. Kilkulu halavim bishir. Right? They ruined it. What does that mean exactly? So the Gemara says there are two ways to understand what that means. So ma kilkul halavim bishir. Hacha targimu shelo amr shir kol ikar. Now here, you understand where here is. Bavel. Here, when we learn the Mishnah in Bavel, so the way we understand it is they didn't sing a song at all. Meaning, because it was the Tamisho Ben Arbaim, usually witnesses have come already at this point in time. They haven't come. There's still time for them to come. We don't know which way to go. So, right, indecision. So how do people normally deal with indecision? Don't make a decision. Do nothing. So the way we understood it here in Bavel is they didn't sing shir at all. Rabbi Zera Amar Shamushir Shachol in Tamishal Ben Arbayim. Rabbi Zera says, no, that's not the correct Pshah in the Mishnah. The correct Pshah in the Mishnah is they did sing, and specifically they sang the shir of the Chol. They sang the weekday song. Amala Rabbi Zera Lava Bre Poktenilu. So Rabbi Zera says to his son, he had a son by the name of Ava, and he says, Poktenilu. You know what? Next time you see any one of those chachamim, Tamid chacham from Bavel, here's what I want you to introduce them to. Introduce them to the following brisa. It's basically a brisa that describes what we saw in our Mishnah, but it certainly is going to sound like Rabbi Zera. The brisa reads, "It kinnish lo yimikal mameser chodesh ela kedei she'e shows bayom la'akriv tamidim umusafim v'niskehem." The whole purpose is of the institution is that we should have the Edom come, report that it's Rosh Chodesh, i.e. Rosh Hashanah, so that there'll be time left in the day to offer the Tamid, the Musaf, the Nesachim, v'lo marshira below shelo b'shibush. And so that we could say Shira and not all mixed up and not all confused. Meaning that's the purpose of only accepting Edom before Mincha. Now, Iyamat Bishlama Amar Shira Dechol Hainadika Shibush. Now, if you listen to the end of the Braisa, we're only going to accept witnesses early so they don't sing Shira Bishibush. Now, Shibush is a term that we see often in the Gemara. Actually, we see it very often in Rashi. Right? When Rashi says, you know, that text of the Gemara, that was corrupted. So, Rashi, how does Rashi describe that? Shibush. Shibush is a term that is used when something is all mixed up. So, if they sang the wrong song, I understand the word shibush being used. But if they didn't sing shir at all, which is the way we in Bavel, right? We're learning Talmud Bavli. So the way the Chachamim of Bavel understand, they didn't sing shir at all. What does that mean, shibush? The term shibush is just simply not the appropriate term. So my shibushika. So the Gemara says, I don't know. I don't know if it's a compelling argument. Kevin Delamar Klal and the shibush God Lamizah. Oh, if you didn't say it at all, that's also shibush. Okay, Rav Zera thought it was a compelling argument. The Gemara deflects, not a compelling argument. Anyway, Mesiv Rav Acha Bar Huna. Another question asked, again, here we go with another Braisa. And this Braisa, again, is going to be discussing Rosh Hashanah and the Shir. Tamisha Rosh Hashanah Shachris Krav Keo Chaso. Okay, here the Braisa is going to be a little bit longer and a little bit more detailed. On the morning of Rosh Hashanah, Shachris Krav Keo Chaso. So the Tamisha Shachar, offered as it normally is offered, and as I explained back in the Mishnah, with a regular weekday song. B'musav Ma'o Omer. Now, let's assume the witnesses came. Declaration today is Rosh Chodesh, and that means that today is Rosh Hashanah, and we're bringing the Karban Musaf. What song do we sing when it comes to the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah? So Ma'o Omer, Harninu Lelokim Uzenu Hariu Leloke Yaakov. We call that Thursday, right? Meaning that's the Shir Shal Yom of Thursday. It's the Shir Shal Yom of Thursday. It also is the Shir Shal Yom of Rosh Hashanah. For hopefully what would be obvious reason. In that Perek in Tehillim, it says Hariu Leloke Yaakov. It talks about blown shofar, Trua. So it's the... It is the perek that describes the blowing of the shofar. And also, you remember in that perek, what also do we see in that perek? Right, Tikkun b'shofar, Tikkun b'chodesh shofar, b'kesel l'yom chageinu. Okay, right, b'kesel, remember we talked about this earlier in the Masechta, on the yontav where the moon is covered. What yontav is the moon covered? That's Rosh Hashanah. Good. So, on the musaf of Rosh Hashanah, we would sing, Arnino l'lokim was in our real l'lokim Yaakov. B'mincha ma'u omer. Now it's mincha, but remember, it's mincha of now Rosh Hashanah. Kol Hashem Yachil Midbar. Kol Hashem Yachil Midbar. Again, another parak in Tehillim that we're familiar with. Right, we sing it on Shabbos. But in that parak, there is a description of of shofar. Rashi, Kedei Lahaske Rosh Hashanah Zchus Kol Shofros Shomat Torah, reminding us of the shofar that was blown at Ma'amad Har Sinai. But anyway, again, another reference to shofar. Good. So far, so good. So the Braisa basically tells us now how the procedure shir went on a regular Rosh Hashanah. Morning, weekday, regular weekday song, because again, the Edom didn't come yet. By sometime in the afternoon, where we're offering the Musafim. So for the Musaf, it's Perek Pei Aleph of Tehillim, 81st chapter of Tehillim. And then for Mincha, Perek Chav Tes. Good. And both of those have to do with Shrua and Shofar and are relevant to Rosh Hashanah. Now, excuse me, the Braisa continues. Now, what happens when Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Thursday? Okay? For us, that means it's a three-day Yontif. But, again, we're so... my thought process, really. But what happens when Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Thursday? So here's the problem, right? Not a major issue, but a problem. And that is that the morning shir is Perek Pei Aleph of Tehillim. So now what's going to end up happening is that we're going to have a kfela, a repetition of the Perek in the morning, and then at Musaf as well. So lo hayomer b'shachar tarninu m'meisha chozev kofos haperek. So we don't want to say it because we're going to end up repeating it. Now, why is that the end of... It's not the end of the world. Okay. Why is that a problem? Okay. Not totally clear to me why that's an issue. Okay. Some form of differentiation. Okay.
But on a regular week, did they read the same shear twice a day? Was it a different shear every half day?
It's funny you mentioned that. I wasn't sure. I was thinking the same thing myself. I wasn't sure. So we didn't want to repeat it. So Ela Ma'omer Hasirosi Mishtev Shechmo. So what we would do is the following: we would start from Hasirosi Mishtev Shechmo, meaning same perek. We would start in the middle of the perek. We wouldn't start at the beginning of the perek. And the reason why we would do that is so that if and when today's declared to be Rosh Hashanah, and then we get to Musaf, so now we'll start from the beginning of the perek, and that'll be a form of differentiation. Now let's say the witnesses come after Tamashol Shachar, meaning already in the morning we don't know whether or not today is going to be Rosh Hashanah or not. So what do? Omer Harninu, Afa Pishachos Vekofos Aperek. So you start the morning, again it's Thursday morning, it may be Rosh Hashanah, we don't know yet, we're waiting for the witnesses. So we'll start the morning with Harninu, meaning we'll start in the beginning of the Perek, of the 81st Perek of Tehillim. We'll say the entire Perek, and even though that may cause a risk of us having to repeat it later on, but we'll do it. And the reason why we'll do it is because it may be Rosh Hashanah, but it may not be Rosh Hashanah. And then we'll have foregone the day, having not said the entire Perek, so say it in the morning, even though you're at risk at repeating it later today. Good. E amart bishlama kol hecha de mistafka amin and shira dechol hainu de kamar omro v'koflo. So, if you say that when there's a safeg, so you say the shira dechol, so good. So now, again, this speaks to the idea of Rabbi Zera, that there's a safeg. What do we do when there's a safeg? We'll say the weekday shir, like with the way we just described in this braisa. But according to the Talmid Chachamim of Bavel, when there's a suffix, what do? We don't do anything. So how did you understand the Braisa? So Heinu Dekamer Omer V'Kol Flo Elai Amar Lo Amar Klal. But according to you, where you don't say it at all, my Omro V'Kol Flo. How did you understand the Braisa? Response: Shani Hasan Deshir Diyumehu. The Gemara says, yeah, but that's different in that case over there. Shira Diyume. That's the shir of that day. So in other words, it's not that the suffix is it Rosh Hashanah, is it a weekday, which year should we sing, maybe it's this one, maybe it's that one. Here, it's the day song. So what did you really lose by singing that shir? If it was Rosh Hashanah, good. If it was a Thursday, good. Okay, so fine. So in other words, so even the Chachamim above all are not going to be moved by that Braisa and Adkan. All right, so basically, we leave off the discussion with, we know that there was an event in the Beis HaMikdash where We're waiting for the Edom. The Edom didn't come until after Mincha. The language of the Mishnah is Niskalko Levim Bashir. The Levim upset, they ruined the song. What exactly does that mean? So we're basically left with two ways to understand that in the Gemara. Either they didn't sing a song at all, not knowing whether it was a Rosh Hashanah or it was a weekday. So they didn't sing a song at all. That's the Chachamim of Bavel. Or, according to Rabbi Zera, they sang the weekday song, and then when the witnesses came after Mincha to say that today was Rosh Chodesh, i.e. Rosh Hashanah, so that was a kilkel, that they sang the wrong song. Okay, Tanya. We learned in a Braisa. Once again, this should sound somewhat familiar. We did this back in Sukkah, but we're going to do it now again. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda says, in the name of Rabbi Akiva. Barisha Mahayu Omrim. What was the song of every day? Okay, so again, we know, okay, at the end of davening, we go over the Shir Shalyom. Let's spend a couple of moments. We're going to go through some Rashi's over here to explain. The Shir Shalyom is thematic. Every day. And the theme, of course, we're going to go back to Bereishis, Maisa Bereishis. So we're going to look at the 6 days of creation. Actually, we're also going to look at the seventh day as well. It's called the Day of Rest. So the and we're going to explain how each Shir Shalyom thematically fits into the day as it corresponds to Maisa Bereishis. So Bereishon Mayom Rim Lashem Aretz Meloah. To HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the world and its inhabitants. Al Shem Shekana V'Hikna V'Shalab Ba'olamo. Because what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do on day one? He made a kinyan. He acquired the world. Okay, Rashi says, Shekana Shamayim Va'aretz. Right, he acquired the entire world, both the heavens and the earth. Right, Bereishis Bara Elokim, as a Shamayim Va'aretz.
How could so, this be kind of something that belongs to him? Hashem created this.
He correct. Meaning, he was kone and he was makne. Meaning, right. It was more the idea that he transferred. Even though on day one there's no one to transfer it to. Okay, the Ramban. I just quoted this Ramban recently, but let's reiterate the Ramban. It's fantastic. The Ramban says that all creation took place on day one. Okay, somewhat of a misnomer that the creation, again, this is all according to the Ramban on Chumash, misnomer that creation took place all 6 days. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't create anything after day one. Kadosh Baruch Hu created all matter, all energy on day one. The Ramban says this, right? I know he doesn't use words like matter and energy, but he says it. He says that everything had a starting point on day one. The Yesh Me'ayin, the creation of something from nothing, that was all on day one. And then after that, it's just all formation. Everything then is developing and forming. But everything comes from one point. In fact, the Ramban writes that everything, actually all matter and energy, started at one point and then expanded from there. I know it sounds very similar to a very, very popular theory. Good. The Ramban said it 800 years ago. So the B'sheni Mayu Omrim, on day two, what would they say? Gadol Hashem U'Malam Ma'od. So the 48th parak of Tehillim, Hashem Shechilek Ma'isav U'Malach Aleihem. So Chilek Ma'asav, take a look at Rashi. Chilek Ma'asav, Hivdo Rakia Ben Alyona L'Tachtonim. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, what did he create on Monday? He created a division between the upper and the lower. V'nit Alev Yashav B'Marom. And Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachol, to the best of our understanding, as if we can understand this, he situated himself in the uppers. Dugma Shcheno Bi'iro V'Har Kadsho. Okay, so that is Gadol Hashem U'Malam Ma'od, that he basically made for himself a malchus. Bishlishi Hayu Omrim, now Tuesday. So what was the shir? Elokim Nitzav Ba'adas Kel. Al Shem Shegila Eretz Bechachmaso Ve'Hechin Teva La'adaso. That was where he created ground. He exposed ground. Rashi, Makom Atzav Adaso She'Nemar V'Tira Yabasha B'Shlishi Ne'Emar. Right, the earth appeared, meaning up until what we call Tuesday, it's called day three. Up until day three, it was all water, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu revealed the water. Revealed the land. B'Rivi Ayo Omrim, Kel Nekamos Hashem, Al Shem Shebarucham, Olavana V'Asi Lipar Me'Ovdeihem. On the fourth day, what we call Wednesday, so we're reading now Perek Tzadi Dalet, 94th Perek of Tehillim. Why? Kel Nekamos Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking vengeance. Well, who's HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking vengeance against? What was created on the fourth day of creation? Sun, moon, stars. And what happens? Later on, people eventually will worship them. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Nekama as on all those who worship the sun, the moon, the stars. Bechamisha yo'omrim, harninu lalokim uzenu, al-shem shabar ofus v'dagun l'shabeach l'shmo. The praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's mentioned in the 81st chapter of Tehillim. Why? Because on day 5, what we call Thursday, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created birds and fish. L'shabeach l'shmo. The literal translation of the Gemara is to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning it sounds like the simple pshat in the Gemara is that they are going to offer shira to Hashem. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi does not say that. Rashi says, Shabar ofos v'dekon l'shabeach l'shmo, kesha adam ro'eh ofos, mishunem zemizeh, nosein shevach l'misha baram. When we see all the different birds and fish, so it's we understand our HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His wisdom created with variety all the birds and fish, and we're going to provide shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. B'shishya yo'omrem, on the sixth day, Hashem malach yeus lavesh, Hashem shegamar malachto, umalach aleihem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now the grand coronation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where He finished creation, Adam, creation now is done. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a melech, He's a king. B'shviyah yo'omrim mizmor shelem haShabbos liyom shekulo Shabbos. And then, day 7, what we call Shabbos, so there we would go to Perek Tzadi Beis, and there, mizmor shelem haShabbos. Okay, seems most appropriate just by the opening pasuk of that Perek in Tehillim. Yom shekulo Shabbos. We're looking forward to a day that will be in its entirety that of a Shabbos. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes, "Asida olam lios charav." The world is going to last for 6,000 years. Okay, we're approaching 5774. Okay, so the world is going to last for 6,000 years. V'ein adam v'chol hamalachos shovachos al oso. I'm sorry, shovachos al oso yom omim shir shol yom haShabbos. And for that 1,000 year period, so it will be like Shabbos, meaning a full cessation. I'm Rabbi Nechemiah Maroch. I'm sorry, period. Okay, not period, but a pause now in the Brisa. So, Rabbi Huda, in the name of Rabbi Akiva, says that the 7 Shiras that we sing over the course of the 7 days of the week correspond to, thematically, each day of creation ending with Shabbos. Mizmor L'Shiel Yom HaShabbos. I'm Rabbi Nechemiah. So Rabbi Nechemiah says, I'm going to disagree. Although, as we'll see in just a moment, the disagreement of Nechemiah is not that radical a disagreement. In fact, he only disagrees on one point. I'm going to read quickly because, really, he's just repeating what Rabbi Yehuda says. So, Sunday, B'sheni, Monday, Chilk Ma'asav O'Malach Aleihem, Bishlishi Shigila Eretz Bechachmaso, reveal the land, Ve'echin Tevel Adaso, Birevi Shabar Cham Levana Vasidli Parme of Dehem, Wednesday, Sun Moon, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take vengeance, Bechamishi Shabar Ofos V'dagon L'Shabeach L'Shmo, Thursday, birds, fish, providing Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bishishi Shigam HaMalach Tu, HaMalach Aleihem, 6th day, end of creation, coronation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Bishvi Al Shem Sheshavas. And Mizmor Shelem HaShabbos is not a forecast for the future, that where there's going to be a day for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning 1,000 years where there's going to be destruction and the world will be uninhabited for 1,000 years, but rather for a very simple reason. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested on day 7. V'kamiflagi b'derav kitina. Now the Gemara notes over here that this debate between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Nechemiah is really a contingent on another issue, and that's Rav Kitina. Dam Rav Kitina, Shisa Alfe Shane Have Amah V'chad Charov. Rav Kitina says that the world will go on for 6,000 years, and then for the 7,000th year, it will be destroyed. Shinemar V'nizka V'shem L'vado B'yomahu. Kadosh Baruch Hu will remain by himself on that day. That is Rav Kitina's position. So in terms of a forecast of how things will be, 6,000 years will be on this earth, and then 1,000 years after, from 6 to 7,000, Kadosh Baruch Hu will be by himself. Now, exactly how all this, how exactly the timeline works, and then we come back afterwards. So that you'll hear from whatever, not for me. You'll hear from somebody else in terms of what exactly the sequence of events are. Abaye Amar, Trecharub. Abaye disagrees on the fact that it's not going to be 1,000 years of destruction, but rather 2,000 years. Shenemar Yechayenim Yomayim Bimosfei Deshab. I'm sorry, Yechayenim Yomayim. It'll be, we'll have a Tchias Hamesim, a resurrection after 2 days. And again, a day for Kadosh Baruch Hu is 1,000 years. Okay, back to the Gemara. B'musaf de Shabbos amayu omrim. Musaf of Shabbos. Okay, so basically, our daf today, daf Lamed Aleph, has started off with a discussion of Shir Shol Yom. And the reason why that we got into this discussion is because of the Mishnah on the previous Amud, where the Mishnah talked about how because the Edom came late, so they sang the wrong Shir. So now, as long as we're in this discussion, so the Gemara now is going to give us a list of the various shiras that are saying. So here we go now. B'musfei de Shabbos amayu omrim. So what would they say on Musaf of Shabbos? So Amrav Anabarav Amrav Haziv Lach. So they would say Haziv Lach. What is Haziv Lach? So you take a look at Rashi. So Rashi says we're taking the Perek of Ha'azinu and we're breaking it up into sections. 6 sections in total. And the letters He, Zayin, Yud, Vav, Lamed, Chaf are the beginning of the pasuk of each of the sections that it's broken down into. Take a look at Rashi. I'm not going to go through the Rashi right now, where Rashi actually tells us which psukim they are. If you can imagine, I'm sure you can, not everyone agrees to Rashi's breaking up of the psukim in Parshas Ha'azinu. The Rambam has a different breakup of the psukim. And when we read Parshas Ha'azinu in Shul, well, the Gemara is about to make this point, but when we read Parshas Ha'azinu in Shul, so we break it up as is instructed over here. Parshas Ha'azinu is the only Parsha in all the weeks that we read the Torah where the Gemara is makpid. The Gemara tells us how it should be broken up based on the mnemonic that's provided to us over here. In terms of all other Shabbosim, so the breakup is somewhat arbitrary. You know this because if you want to make another break, Under given stern regulations, you're allowed to do so. So, but on Parshas Ha'azinu, you have to follow this order. Why? Because this was the shir that was saying on Shabbos.
Can they used to have a 3-year cycle, not a 1-year cycle?
No, but this is not talking. Wait, two things going on: the shir that they sang in the Beis Hamikdash, and then the laning. So, the shir that they sang in the Beis Hamikdash, so they follow this format. The laning. So, correct. Meaning there was a discrepancy between Bavel and Rosh and Eretz Yisrael. Bavel, they did it yearly. Eretz Yisrael, they finished the Chumash every third year. I'm guessing that when they got to Ha'azinu, they still follow this format. And so it must be that the other parshas must have been distributed differently. And now, here's the Gemara. The Gemara says that just like in the Beis Hamikdash, when singing Ha'azinu and breaking it up into 6 sections, we too do the same when we do Ha'azinu in Shul on Shabbos. B'mincha de Shabbos amayu omrim. That was Musaf of Shabbos. Now, Mincha of Shabbos, what would they say? Amrav Yochanan az yashir mikamocha v'az yashir. So they would break it up into a rotation of three. Az yashir, meaning Parshas B'shalach. Mi kamocha, also Parshas B'shalach. Basically, they would take the Az Yashir and break it up into 2 sections. So 1 week they would sing the first section, and the next week they would sing the second section, starting with Mi kamocha. And then the 3rd week, Az Yashir. Az Yashir, that's Shiras HaBe'er in Parshas Chukas. So they would go in a 3-week rotation. I Bailu, Hani Kulu Bechad Shabasa Amrilu, O Dimoko Shabasa V'Shabasa Amre Chad. Now, exactly how this was done, all three every Shabbos, or on a rotation. Tashma, Detanya, Amrav Yossi, Achi, Rishona, Omra, Achas, Shnia, Chozer, Shtayim. So the Gemara says basically rotation. Rotation meaning that for the Ha'azinu, it was broken up into 6 sections. So obviously that went on a 6-week rotation. The Mincha of Shabbos, the Az Yashir, the Mikamocha, the Az Yashir, a 3-week rotation. So now you understand the Braisa. The Braisa says that when you finished the Ha'azinu, you went through the Ha'azinu rotation of 6, you went through the Az Yashir rotation 2 times over. Shema mina kol Shabbos v'Shabbos amichad shema mina. Let's do a little bit more this morning. I'm Rav Yehuda, Bar Idi, I'm Rav Yochanan, Eser Masoros, Nasar Shechina, Mikrai. The Shechina went and stopped in 10 different places. Meaning, when we exiled out of Yerushalayim, this is talking about the first Beis HaMikdash, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu also exiled, again, Kavayachal to the best of our understanding, also went into exile as well, and stopped 10 stops along the way. And that we know, Mikrai, meaning we're going to actually have Pesukim. Uchenegdam Galta Sanhedrin Migamara, and the Sanhedrin also went through an exile. This was after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, where the Sanhedrin was exiled and made 10 stops in its exile. Ezra Masos Nasa Shechina Mikrai, Mika Paros Lekruv. So here we go now with 10 stops. The Shechina is centralized on the Kaporas. That's the lid of the Aron in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And there it moved to the Kruv, to the Kruvim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Kruv LeMiftan. And then it went from the Kruv to the Miftan, that is the threshold. Miftan LeChatzer. Then the Shechina went to the courtyard. Chatzer LeMizbech. Then it goes to the Mizbech. Mizbech LeGag. Goes to the roof. Gag LeChoma, to the wall. Choma LeIr. Then from the wall to the city of Yerushalayim, Meir Lahar Abayis. And from the ear to the mountain, Mehar LeMidbar, then out to the desert, Mibar Altav Yashav Bimkoma. And then from the Midbar, it went to its Makom, Shenamar Elecha Shuvah El Mekomi. It goes to the Makom. Okay. Mikapars LeKruv, Mikruv LeKruv, or Mikruv LeMiftan Dechsev. And then the Gemara just simply quotes the Pesukim that indicate this movement of the Shechina. So that's, we know that the original place, the Makom Shechina, is Kaparis, the lid of the Aron. And then it moves to the Kruv. It quote unquote floats, it flies. Then the Gemara quotes the Pesukim in Yecheskel describing its movement to the threshold. And then another pasuk in Yechezkel describing how it goes to Chatzer. Another pasuk in Yechezkel. Then, I'm sorry, that pasuk was from Amos. Then it goes to the roof. And then it goes to the wall. And then goes from the city to the wall. East of the city. And then it goes to the desert. And then okay, so those psukim, again, yeah, those psukim obviously are not in any particular order in Tanakh, but those psukim speak to the idea that the Shechina makes a movement away from the Beit HaMikdash during Churban. We'll just end off with the following. Before the Shechina returns back to its makom, it stays in the Midbar for 6 months, hoping that they'll return and do tshuva. And then once the Jewish people did not do tshuva, so the Shechina says, "Tipeach atzman shenemar v'nei reshaim techalena umanos avad menahem v'tikvasam mapach nefesh." We lose all of our hope. Kadosh Baruch Hu loses hope. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow, pick it up with Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin makes 10 movements corresponding to the 10 movements of the Shechina, and then we will start with the next Mishnah. God willing, tomorrow.